at center ice. Pageau into the skates of Ennis. He'll leave it for Shabbat. Looks at the net, gives it right back to Tyler Ennis. Quick passing, and they score. Batherson, a great pass. Pageau, the goal. This game is tied. Over the line, low shot. Pass saved from McElhinney. Nice of off, tried to get it back in front. Goes to the blue line instead. They score! Shot from Mark Borbejewski. A late goal gives Ottawa the lead.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy, down here at Twin Peaks in Henderson. Come on down, check it out. All the TVs are on. Of course, we'll have the Vegas Golden Knights game on later as they will be taking on the Ottawa Senators. Great food, great drinks, always a great atmosphere at Twin Peaks, both on the Strip and here in Henderson. And Ryan, a lot to get to today.
So, it was an interesting day. It's been an interesting morning, I think, for the Golden Knights. Obviously, head coach Pete DeBoer joined the team this morning in Ottawa. Didn't take part in morning skate because his flight, there was some issues there. He didn't really get to the arena until about 25 minutes before he ends up addressing the media. However, I thought that his first press conference went pretty well, and I don't know of a coach in history that hasn't really nailed their first press conference. Like, I feel like that's just kind of, it kind of goes with the job, right? Like, you have your talking points, you know what you're going to say. This is a bit of a unique situation just because of how linked these two organizations are through the first two plus years of existence for the Golden Knights. That being the San Jose Sharks, that being the Golden Knights. And real quick breaking news, this just came across. William Karlsson will not play tonight. He is week to week with an upper body injury.
Wow.
Sorry about that. I know it's a little bit disjointed. We were just going to set up this Pete DeBoer press conference, but now we've got this breaking news to talk about. William Karlsson, I don't know what the injury is. Obviously, it just came through right now. But Karlsson out week to week with an upper body injury. Let's continue with DeBoer, and we'll get into the Karlsson injury in the second segment.
All right, so like you mentioned, Pete DeBoer, flight got in a little bit late, so he actually met with the media before he even met with the team. He has certainly done that since, and he will be behind the bench tonight in the game against Ottawa, and we want you to be able to hear exactly how that press conference went. So here it is in its entirety, Pete DeBoer speaking with the media earlier today, getting set to be the new head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights.
Obviously, when I realized that there might be an opportunity there to do that, you know, you don't have to think very long about a job like this. I mean, this is, you know, if you're lining up the jobs in the league, this is right near the top of the list.
Jesse,
hey, good.
When you look at this job, what excites you the most about this roster?
Well, I've got a unique perspective because, I mean, I've seen more of these guys than I've seen of my wife and kids in the last 3 years, it feels like. So, you know, when you're on the other bench, and it's part of what I told the players, you get an outside perspective of what they have, and I can tell you, it's so positive. I mean, their work ethic and their compete and the way they stick together and the character in that room and you know, what they've done, considering where they came from as an expansion team. You know, it's a huge amount of respect, and I think, you know, the one thing I learned in San Jose, that if you can walk into a good dressing room with good people and character people, that you can find your way through the turbulent waters. And, you know, I think that's probably the case here. I think you got a real good group of men that care, and we'll find our way through it.
David Shane, Las Vegas Review Journal. Kind of immediately putting your stamp on this.
Yeah, well, it's I've never come in mid-season before. I talked to a couple friends of mine. I had a conversation with Paul Maurice, who's done it a couple times. It's tough to put a stamp on without practice time, and you know, we've got a break coming up, which will allow me to get our coaches together and get everybody on page that way. But it's a different process than coming in camp and establishing your foundation from day one with practices and exhibition games. So got to take it a little bit slower for me, you know, these games until the break. I'm going to use to get to know the guys and the team, the players. I want them to play, show me what you can do, you know, show me what you're capable of, and then hopefully coming out of the break we'll start to be able to establish some of those things.
Pete Brent Wallace, TSN. Mark Stone said it was weird maybe 10 months ago I wouldn't have said a nice thing about him. Ryan Reeves, I wouldn't say I have the best track record with him. I may have to give him a hug. I'm curious about your first meeting and what that will be like with the players.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll get through it. It'll be a little awkward, but we'll get through it. Maybe you might like meeting an ex-old girlfriend or something. that it didn't end well. You know what, it's, again, and not to go back to this, but when you hear about those guys in there, you know, all you hear is about their character, and you don't have the success they've had without that. So I'm excited to get to know them, and, you know, I'd hope it'd be mutual.
Was it ever, like, of all the teams to be calling right now, is it this one?
Yeah, a little shocking, you know. But a great shock. You know, again, I'm excited. This is my kind of team. These are my kind of guys. They play hard. They play fast. They play heavy. So you know, that's the kind of teams I like.
For Justin, Gary, Mike.
Justin Emerson, Las Vegas Sun. Hi, Pete.
Hey, Justin.
I guess when did you get into town? When did you join the organization? I guess kind of what have your first 24 hours with the organization been like?
It's been a whirlwind. You know, like I told you, I had to get from South Florida. I got, you know, I think from the time I was contacted till the time I was announced, it was less than 24 hours. So I had to get to Toronto. Didn't have a suit, don't have skates, don't have anything. My flight was canceled this morning, so not much has gone right. I'm hoping tonight we can turn that around, but it's been a whirlwind. But again, you know, there was no hesitation for me in the opportunity that I see ahead of me here in taking that, because I think there's a special group in there, and you know, we've got to get together and figure it out.
You said you got in this morning.
I just got in 20 minutes ago. Yeah.
Hi, Pete. Gary Lawless, hey, Gary. Vegas Golden Knights. How are you? The team's just outside the playoffs right now. Kelly said yesterday that you know, we had high expectations coming into the season, and we hope to still have high expectations. Where do you sit in that? What do you think this team can do?
Well, you know, this is a team that the goal is to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, they're one of those teams. And, you know, I feel like we've been one of those teams in San Jose the last 4 or 5 years. So, you know, that's the goal. I can tell you that the year we went to the finals with San Jose, might be mistaken, but you know, December, January, we were around 500, you know, spinning our tires a little bit, found a way to get it going in the right direction. You know, the list is endless of teams that you know, are in this situation at some point or another. It's one of the things I'm going to talk to the players about. A little bit of adversity, I think, is always a good thing. It's just how you deal with it. So you know, they've been handed some adversity here. A couple real good men have lost their jobs, and you know, I know from the character in there, those guys are taking, and from what you read, they're taking some personal responsibility for that, and that's a good thing. And I don't doubt they're going to bounce back in the right way here.
Pete, Mike Seisberger, Toronto or NHL.com.
Used to be.
I changed jobs too. Okay. So.
It's hard to keep track.
Maybe, it's all a blur. Mine's yours, not theirs. Explain to us a little bit more about this call. I mean, you're sitting there and the call comes. Are you, you know, like, what's their selling points and just the shock? Are you, like, on the phone going, like, is this really, Kelly, is this really you? Like, is this really happening?
Yeah, I mean, it really was that out of left field and that quick. You know, I haven't been a mid-season coach before somewhere else, so I don't know how it happens other places, but this was very fast. It was very immediate. It was very out of left field. It was very welcomed, but, you know, not a lot of time, and it's probably a good thing. You know, I think any coach that's sitting out, I was out a month, you know, you enjoy your first week, and then you start watching hockey, and then, you know, you wish you were behind there, and then you really start to miss it. So, you know, I think, and my wife knew that. I mean, there was no hesitation on the family part.
Yeah, what do you turn to your wife and say, by the way, honey,
yeah.
Stop. How do you feel about casinos?
Yeah, well, you know, we were actually looking for a condo down in Florida, so we put that on hold, and we'll start looking in Vegas now. But, you know, I've been very fortunate. I got a great hockey family, and we've done this a bunch of times, so they know the drill. And, you know, they're the one who bears the brunt of it. I get jetted off here and fly around first class and do my thing, and they've got to pick up the pieces at home and get us moved. So they're the ones who do the heavy lifting.
So there you have it. Pete DeBoer, earlier today, meeting with the media, met the Vegas Golden Knights team afterwards. A lot to dissect there.
So here's a couple of things that I wrote down that I thought were pretty interesting. It's Pete DeBoer and his plan, right? So the first thing that I thought DeBoer said that was relatively interesting in that press conference is, this is my kind of team. These are my kind of guys. They play hard. They play fast. They are heavy. That's an identity. The Golden Knights have been a team that I think at times this year have lacked an identity, whether it's they're not the fastest team that they are, they're not as fast of a team as they were first season. At times they can be heavy. At times they can be a pain in the butt to play against, but it's not always the case. And I feel like the first thing Pete DeBoer's really going to try to do, he's going to hone in on this team. He's going to look at them and try to figure out exactly what the identity of the Golden Knights should be. And I think the words that stick out to me, it's play hard, play fast, and heavy. Hard, fast, heavy. You don't have to be fast to play fast. And I think that's going to be the big key for Pete DeBoer and the Golden Knights moving forward.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And certainly when you think of them being a heavy team, you think of guys like Ryan Reeves and Will Carrier. But, you know, they have McNabb. They have a lot of other guys. And you bring it up all the time as well. Even though he's not big in stature, Jonathan Marchessault can be a heavy player because he's a very physical player and is certainly not afraid to throw his body around.
Yeah, you need a little bit of that jam, especially in the Western Conference, especially when you're going to go – your plan is to go all the way to the Stanley Cup Final. You need guys that are hard to play against. And heaviness doesn't just mean big open ice hits. It doesn't mean just finishing checks all over the ice. It means a heaviness to play against. You want to lean in on guys. If you're defending in your own zone, you want the player that is trying to get around you to know that you're there and know that you're constantly there. There's a heaviness in that regard, and I think that's really what the Golden Knights are going to try to do moving on. Here's another thing from Pete DeBoer. A little bit of adversity, I feel, is a good thing. They've been handed some adversity here. Two good men have lost their jobs. So that's the first time that DeBoer really acknowledges Gerard Gallant and this decision by the Golden Knights in management to move on from Gerard Gallant as head coach and Mike Kelly. I think that that's incredibly poignant there for DeBoer to bring that out, mainly because we've talked about the adversity for the Golden Knights all year long, and it's been in-game adversity. It's been adversity where they're trying to figure out how to not give up two-goal leads in the third period. They're trying to figure out how to start the game on time. Well, now they're having to go through the adversity of knowing that if they had played a little bit differently, had there been a way in which they could have in that room prevented this change from being made, they would have done it. They would have liked to have done it for their former coach, Gerard Gallant, but they didn't. So they've got to own it. They've got to live with that. That's adversity that they're going to have to work through, not just on the ice adversity, but adversity between the ears. And I think that's going to be very, very telling about this team, what they do coming out of this, how they move forward on the other side. Can they pick up the pieces? Can they put it all together starting now?
And in that vein, he also brought up, and I'm sure it's one of the points that you wrote down there too, that, you know, that they're not the first team that has been in a little bit of trouble at this time of the season. Everybody talks about St. Louis last year, but St. Louis is far from the only team that in December or January had a little bit of a rough patch, was around 500 or something. He mentioned that even the Sharks did it when he was with them there when, you know, when they made a run in the playoffs. You know, sometimes you just need to get things together. So basically saying, like, look, this is a team that they're a contender for the Stanley Cup. That's one of the reasons I came here. And the fact that we're struggling now, there's plenty of time to turn things around. Again, a lot of people, the overreaction in this day and age, and I guess it's always been there, but with social media, you see it even more. They're in fifth place. Oh, they're in fifth. It's 3 points. 3 points separate the top five teams in the Pacific, for crying out loud.
But let's not lull fans into a false sense of security. They're only 3 points out because they're in the Pacific Division, which is undoubtedly the worst division in hockey. If they were in any other division right now, this team would be 12 points out of a playoff spot.
It's possible.
No, it's not possible. It is. So let's not say that it's not that bad. They're still middle of the road in terms of where they stack up against other divisions and where they stack up against the NHL. It's fortunate for the Golden Knights that they do play in this division because they can make up that 3-point difference. But we can't beat around the bush. This team should be much better than they are right now.
Oh, they've certainly underperformed. I mean, I don't think a player in that locker room would disagree with that statement. This team, the expectations and the realistic expectations, they should be much better off right now than they are.
DeBoer talked about the games until the All-Star break. These games until the All-Star break, I'm going to use to get to know the guys and team, the players. I want them to play, show me what you can do, what you are capable of, and hopefully coming out of the break, we can start to establish some of those things, meaning systems, different stuff that Peter DeBoer wants to bring to this team in terms of how they defend, how they attack, special teams, penalty kill, power play, all that stuff. What I find interesting about this is, where's the loyalty? There is none. And that's a good thing. For the first time in Golden Knights history, there's not going to be any loyalty to any player at all. And I think that even if you looked at year one, when you look at Gerard Gallant, you look at the players and the pieces that he had year one, there were guys that he was familiar with. There were guys that he was trying to work in different situations. And let's give him full credit. With William Karlsson, he made the right move and struck gold, right? But there could have been, there might have been other instances where if Gerard Gallant was a little bit open and not as loyal, and that's not a bad thing that he was loyal to his players, but if that loyalty wasn't as strong as it was, maybe there were other players that could have performed. However, we aren't going to go back. There's, as Kelly McCrimmon said yesterday, there's no point in getting into hypotheticals and what ifs, but I think that this is a step in the right direction in terms of show me what you've got. And this might be a great opportunity for a guy like Will Carrier to go in, be heavy, be fast, create something, and it might generate more ice time for him. It's possible.
Yeah, and I know that that's another thing that he had talked about, too, with some shift times and that kind of stuff of being on the ice a little bit longer. We're going to get to that. But getting back to how you talked about the loyalty and that kind of stuff, too, remember this, too, about Karlsson when he did get that opportunity. He kind of got it because Shipachev, the guy that they originally envisioned in that spot, didn't do it, so there was an opportunity. And that seemed to be the mantra of the Vegas Golden Knights in that first season. When you get an opportunity, make the most of it. Some guys now might have some new opportunities. Like you mentioned, Carrier. We've both talked about him all season long. I think he's played tremendous this season. Is he a top six player? I don't know, but I certainly don't know that he's not.
I don't know that Will Carrier is a top six player. I think he's certainly a third liner. You know, I think he's capable of a bigger role on this team than he's had in the past. And, you know, you miss his energy on the fourth line for sure. But could he bring something more to the table? Can he put more pucks in the back of the net, or at least help this team put more pucks in the back of the net if he's got a little bit more of an advanced role? Possibly. Here's the thing that I really wanted to hammer on, though. And this was something that, while listening to it initially, not a lot really stuck out to me. Again, it was an introductory press conference. I think, again, Pete DeBoer had a good introductory press conference. I think there were a lot of fans that were steaming when it started, and they were pretty calm by the end of it. Pete said all the right things about playing at T-Mobile Arena. He said popular or not, polarizing or not, it's the most electric building in the NHL. He also said that he hated coaching at the Shark Tank until he became the coach of the Sharks. I'll take that honesty all day long. That's fine. You don't have to have loyalties to organizations until you are in that organization. So I'm not going to kill Pete DeBoer on that. But here's the thing that I found interesting. He talked about non-negotiables. Every coach has certain things that they expect from their players night in and night out, shift after shift. If you don't do it, you're going to sit. If you do it, you're going to get more ice time. And here were the non-negotiables for Pete DeBoer. We're going to stress attacking and playing north, stopping and defending hard, tracking back, keeping our shifts short, playing four lines. Those are the non-negotiable items for me that we're going to try and instill right away. So here's the thing. The only thing that stuck out to me there, playing north, coach speak. Stopping and defending hard, coach speak. Tracking back, coach speak. Playing four lines, coach speak. Those are all coach speak things. Like, it's essentially cliches wrapped in cliches wrapped in cliches. Keeping our shifts short isn't. And when you look at the numbers, when you look at the Golden Knights, they are a team that average shift time is long in the NHL by the NHL standards. Ken Bulkey, Sinbin.Vegas, he and I, we were on the same wavelength. He just wrote a story, it's on his website, at Sinbin.Vegas, about keeping your shifts short and where the Golden Knights stack up. Here's a couple of interesting pieces. Under Pete DeBoer, the San Jose Sharks routinely averaged 44.9 second shifts, below the NHL average of 45.4 seconds. So when he says, I want shifts short, his teams back up what his message is. And it's shown time and time again with San Jose's time on ice metrics in terms of average shift length. Here's the interesting part. The Golden Knights rank among the highest in the league in average shift length at 49.2 seconds per shift. Why is that important? Why does it matter? Well, the shorter your shift, the more energy you have. The more energy you have, the better chances you have to win puck battles, the better chances you have to not allow fatigue to infiltrate your brain, the better chance you have to manage the puck well, the better chances you have to bury that shot, as opposed to being tired and just not having the lactic acids building up. You don't have as much on that shot. You're not going to score. Why also is it important? Well, think about it from this perspective. If your shifts are shorter but more concentrated in terms of your energy output and you have more to give later in the game, you'll have more shifts later in the game because 4 to 5 seconds over the course of an entire game, that gives your top guys 2, maybe 3 extra shifts. And it's not just extra shifts. It's shifts in which they have all of their energy. So it should improve the conditioning, or at least the appearance of conditioning for this team later on in game, second period, third period, but it should also lead to higher output when they're on the ice because fatigue is not going to set in as much as it does when you go out there and you have a 50, 60, 70 second shift.
Yeah, and just to put it down in real simple layman's terms, fresh legs. You jump over the ice, you go out there, you go hell-bent, you know, as hard as you can, for a quick burst, then the next man up, then the next line up, then the next defense appearing up, whatever. So, and you see that all the time. How often do you see somebody in the game of hockey? And it's usually when they're caught in some kind of strange shift change or maybe the second period when you have the long change or something and you hear, but boy, that line's been out there an awful long time. Well, Pete DeBoer does his best to make sure that that doesn't happen to them. Obviously, it's going to here and there in a game, but for the most part, stay fresh. Use your legs, use your speed. That's how sometimes somebody just jumping over the boards, you get somebody that's been on the ice, you blow by them, all of a sudden it results in a goal. How do you win hockey games? You score goals.
Well, you also take advantage of other teams' mistakes, and you're prone to make mistakes when you're tired, just plainly and simply. And I think when you look at the Golden Knights over the course of their entire existence, their ice time average shift length has been high. It has. It's been just a shade under 50 seconds, and that's too long in the NHL. Now, it's worked out before, it certainly has, but it doesn't mean that it can't be better, and I think that that's one area where if Pete DeBoer can sink his teeth in and he can get these guys to shorten those shifts, I think you're going to see maybe better scoring chances and at least less mistakes that wind up in the back of your net. That's just a simple way of making sure that mistakes don't hurt you in an NHL game.
And again, like you had mentioned too, to the novice fan out there, to a lot of people that didn't play hockey or don't realize how much energy you really exert out there in that short of an amount of time, because sometimes it looks like guys are coasting or whatever, but there's always a lot of energy and mental fatigue and other things as well. The difference of 4 to 5 seconds doesn't sound like much when you just say 4 or 5 seconds, but over the course of the game, over the course of a season, over the course of back-to-back games and all that other things, it does all add up.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of the main thing, is it doesn't look like a whole big tweak on paper. And I think that's kind of the important thing. Throughout the press conference, DeBoer stressed that this is a well-coached team. He talked about how Gerard Gallant really did coach this team well. And it's not did as in first season, second season. It's he had this team well-coached up until the end. And I think that shows a lot about Pete DeBoer. It shows a lot about Gerard Gallant. However, just because something works doesn't mean that outside eyes can't look at it and see that maybe there's a tweak there that gets you that extra 1%. And in the NHL, that extra 1% is oftentimes the difference between making the playoffs and missing. It's oftentimes the difference between winning a 7-game series and not. Oftentimes that extra 1% is the difference between winning a Stanley Cup and losing one.
And another thing that sometimes when we're talking about those short shifts, you're talking about how it can be the difference here and there. Sometimes when you have the fresher legs and you're not a little bit fatigued or something like that, it can be the difference between burying a puck in the back of the net and missing the open net because maybe you are a little bit more fatigued and you didn't put it exactly where you wanted to. Little things sometimes can make a huge difference.
Absolutely.
All right, when we come back, we're going to continue on, and of course, we're going to talk about the injury to William Karlsson. Looks like he's out of the lineup for a little while as well. Lots more to get to here, and don't forget, the Ottawa Senators tonight, we will be on the air with the pregame show at 4 p.m., then we'll turn it over to Dan Duva and Gary Lawless at 4:30 for that game. Lots more to get to here live from Twin Peaks in Henderson. Come on down, check it out. Great food, great drinks. Big screens all over the place to check out all the Vegas Golden Knights action as well. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio Las Vegas, back with lots more on your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy down here at Twin Peaks in Henderson, getting set for the beginning of the Peter DeBoer era in Vegas Golden Knights history as they will take on the Ottawa Senators. That game is at 4:30. We'll turn it over to Dan Duva and Gary Lawless for play. Of course, we'll be on immediately following the Insider Show with the pregame show getting set for that game. Chris Chapman back in the studios today. And, of course, our friend Jeff Rubino here always hooking us up and making sure that everything goes well for us when we are on location.
We're
so,
a team.
We are indeed a team.
That's fitting for today.
The big news, besides Pete DeBoer, one of the staples for the Vegas Golden Knights, the only Golden Knight player who's played in every single regular season game up to this point, that's Rico. And tonight is William Karlsson out with an injury.
Yep, so William Karlsson is out. Upper body injury. We all remember earlier on in the season, William Karlsson, as a center iceman, was not taking faceoffs. And at the time, Gerard Gallant talked about it being, you know, something minor, nothing major. And I don't know if that's something that's lingered for William Karlsson. Obviously, there was a stretch where he was a point-a-game player and producing at a high clip. And then over the last 23, 24 games, the production has just not been there for William Karlsson. So obviously with this announcement, it would seem to indicate that potentially Karlsson has been playing a bit banged up. And I guess you're looking at this situation saying two things. What do the lines look like tonight? Because I think the biggest question with Pete DeBoer coming in is what changes in terms of the lines? And you would just kind of start thinking about this group of players, and you're thinking about William Karlsson, you're thinking about maybe how you can maximize certain players, this, that, the other thing, and now it's simply you're missing another piece. Now you're missing Cody Glass, now you're missing William Karlsson. Like, it's not ideal for Pete DeBoer to walk into this, but I don't know what you do, and I don't know what the lines are going to look like. I have kind of an idea, and the other question is, how long is this going to be? It says week to week. Week to week could be 2 weeks. It could be 4 weeks. It could be 6 weeks. We have no idea. There's no actual timetable outside of week to week. So I think you have to get used to the idea of seeing this team without William Karlsson for at least a little bit of time.
Yeah, and certainly, and again, upper body, that can mean almost anything, too. The NHL, basically, again, for those that are maybe a little bit new to the league, essentially they only ever list two injuries, upper body and lower body. It's an upper body injury that has them out week to week.
So right now, and I'll probably tweet this out here in a second because I don't know what the lines are going to be in terms of what we're going to see tonight in Ottawa. This is my best guess. In terms of the players that are available, I think this is probably the best lineup you can put out on the ice in terms of balance, in terms of structure, and in terms of trying to win a hockey game. I would think that Chandler Stephenson is going to come off of the line with Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty. I think you're going to have to put Stastny in that role. So I'm thinking it's going to be Pacioretty, Stastny, Stone. It's a line that Pete DeBoer has seen in his nightmares many, many times. He knows it works. I think you see that as the top line for the Golden Knights. I think Jonathan Marchessault, Chandler Stephenson, and Riley Smith is probably going to be the second line. And then it's really kind of depending on what you want to see. I think that you're going to want to keep the fourth line as simple as possible. So I think you see Will Carrier, Nick Waugh, and Ryan Reeves as the fourth line, and then your third line, and this is, again, just my best guess here, is Tomasz Nosek, Cody Eakin, and Alex Tuch. I don't see a way in which you can move those pieces around that's going to be any stronger, but then again, there might be something that I'm missing.
And again, we don't know exactly how hands-on Pete DeBoer is going to be in this tonight, if he's going to kind of turn it over to the Ryans, Ryan Craig, Ryan McGill, because they did the practices, they know the team a little bit more, or if he will make in-game adjustments as well. Maybe once the game gets going, what we see starting the game might not be the way we see it finish when he sees stuff and gets his own read and feel, because although he has seen the Vegas Golden Knights, it's a little bit, in fact, it's quite a bit different when you're coaching against them as opposed to coaching for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when he talks about taking these three games and kind of assessing players and seeing where everybody is, I wonder, honestly, I do. I wonder if Pete DeBoer is going to see something out of certain players. And the guy that immediately jumps out to me, because he's been jumping out to me all season long, is Will Carrier. Because Will Carrier, and I just mentioned when I'm talking about these lines, or at least what I'm thinking I might see or we might see, I feel like I list Tomasz Nosek there by default on the third line. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it is Will Carrier. Maybe Pete DeBoer sees something and he wants him to prove something. We'll see. I don't know. We'll have more answers as we get closer to puck drop. But right now, the best we can do is speculate. That's the lineup that I'm speculating is going to be out there for the Golden Knights. Don't ask me to talk about defense. We can do that later.
Carrier kind of seems like the type of player that DeBoer would like.
Why is that?
Big, fast, strong, heavy. But skilled. Maybe more skilled than most people give him credit for, quite honestly, the first couple seasons here with the Golden Knights.
I don't necessarily think that that's the wrong way of looking at it. Quite honestly, I think that Will Carrier has been primed for a bigger role with this team for a while now. You just always wonder about consistency. Like, when you give a guy like that the opportunity, what's he going to do with it? Is he going to really take it to the next level? Is he going to be good for a couple of games and then disappear a little bit? I think Will Carrier has the tools to be a good third-line player on a deep team like the Golden Knights are.
All right. Yesterday, because of all the news going on, we didn't get a chance to do our Oyo Hotel and Casino Play of the Day. So let's do that here today, get it in before we go on with the pregame show at the top of the hour. Oyo Hotel and Casino, home of the 24/7 $2 beers. And remember, $5 buckets of 5 beers before and after all VGK games. The Oyo Hotel and Casino Play of the Day.
All right, Chris, you're going to have to be the guy that tees all of these plays up for us so that we can knock our analysis of them out of the park.
Okay, so I will start with the play that finished in third. And there were only two games last night, so it was kind of hard to find a lot of plays to really give the listeners an option. But we'll go to the game between the Montreal Canadiens and the Chicago Blackhawks. And a guy who has bounced around a little bit this season, Ilya Kovalchuk, had a behind-the-back pass. Unfortunately, the call doesn't do it justice, but he set up Philip Deneau, who scored the lone goal for Montreal last night.
Yeah, back towards the net, tipped by Deneau in behind the net. Now it's Kovalchuk. Strong opening shift by this line. Deneau turns, shoots, scores! for the Canadiens in his second period. Deneau makes it 2-1.
So that play only received 15% of the vote. It was the lone goal, as Frank said, for Montreal. They end up losing the game to Chicago 4-1.
It's a good pass. I'll give the pass a lot of credit here. But it's Ilya Kovalchuk, so let's go to the next one, please.
All right. So I labeled the second place play today as there's no Drake curse here. Because Drake Caggiula of the Chicago Blackhawks, he had a pretty good play because he did a little bit of everything on it. He stole the puck at center ice, came in, and placed a nice shot to beat the backup goalie for Montreal. And it was the fourth goal of the evening for Chicago, so little to no consequence. However, it did receive 40% of the vote.
Strip and score from 91 White, and it's 4-1.
Caggiula with better hands here. Just the poke check, the quick steal, and then, oh, that's a perfectly placed shot. Looks like it's inside that left post as you look at it. It'll be the right side from this angle. Post and in. There wasn't a lot of room there, but Caggiula find the extra space.
So here's my assessment of it. The steal is probably better than everything else that happens on the play. Like, the steal was fantastic. The finish was, like, it was a good shot, but it was pretty bad goaltending.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I did not vote for this play for the simple reason that I thought that Frank was going to vote for it because it was a Chicago Blackhawk. So I did not vote for Drake Caggiula, although I thought it was a nice play. It was a pretty good I can't even think of the word. A pretty good play by Caggiula. He single-handedly was able to give the Blackhawks a goal.
Sounds to me like you're accusing me of favoritism.
I would never do that. I mean,
I think you did.
No. I would never do that.
Okay, go ahead.
So I went with the play, and it was the play where I felt it was the biggest play of the night. It came in overtime. The Philadelphia Flyers, they defeated the defending Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues, ending the home winning streak of the Blues, which I believe was at 9 games. It tied a team record. They do not get the record of 10. Jakub Voracek of the Flyers with the game-winning goal in overtime. And I like this play because not only was it the game-winning goal, but the patience displayed by Voracek to beat Binnington for this goal. I just felt it was the best play of the night.
Backhand with it is Provorov. Got it on a cross now. And here's Voracek. He scores!
Right part of your screen, he jumps on the ice. It's a quick developing 2-on-1, but watch the play by Voracek. He fakes the shot, Petrangelo goes partially down, avoids the stick, little bit of a curl and drag by Voracek. Watch it, gonna shoot it, pulls it away, avoids the stick, skate right, and shoot left top shelf on Jordan Binnington, and Jake Voracek gets the game-winning goal in overtime.
What's great about this is not only does Jake Voracek outweigh Jordan Binnington, but he makes Alex Petrangelo look pretty bad. And then the guy skating by the net as the puck goes in for the St. Louis Blues is Selke winner, best defensive forward in the game, Ryan O'Reilly. So there's a lot to like about this play. The patience is fantastic. The finish is great. But really, the fact that he was able to dance around Petrangelo, make Binnington look pretty bad, and Ryan O'Reilly was also on the ice, speaks volumes to just how talented Voracek is.
Yeah, there was really no option for St. Louis to recover once Petrangelo went to the ground, and he basically just outweighed Binnington, who really had nowhere else to go. And it was a nice play. It was a good shot, and like you mentioned, the patience. And 45% of our listeners agreed that that was the play of the day. Therefore, I'm right today. First time in a long time that I've agreed with the listeners, but yeah, they nailed it too.
We can't be right. Frank and I can't be right because we didn't vote.
Oh.
Yeah, I did not see your plays last night. I looked at Twitter, so for some reason I didn't catch it, so I missed it. Probably since you say I play favoritisms anyhow, it's probably just as well. But
you would have voted for Caggiula.
Well, actually, I would have. I might have abstained anyhow because I thought the play of the day was Max Domi being an idiot and taking a penalty and getting himself benched for over a period of the play and setting up the insurance goal on the Dvorak goal for the Vegas Golden Knights. So,
So you are, you do have favoritism for the Chicago Blackhawks then?
No, no, I just like when people are stupid like that, and then the coach calls them out on it and says, all right, you're sitting for a while because, and then he comes right out afterwards and says, it's not like it's the first dumb penalty he's taken. So Claude Julien called him out for it and said, no, you're sitting the entire second. Even when they had a power play and people thought he'd then put him in at the power play when they had a chance to get back in the game, and he said, he's not the only guy that scores power play goals for us. No, he's still sitting.
And I think someone had a pretty big point last night for Chicago, did they not, Frank?
I believe they might have, yeah.
Yeah. Milestone, getting close to a milestone.
You guys want to, like, just say what it is, or are you going to keep being cryptic about it?
Go ahead, Chris.
No, Frank, it's all you, man. That's your. It's the Blackhawks.
Go for it.
Patrick Kane, I believe it was, had a, 958th career point? Was that what I saw?
Yeah, he on the assist to DeBrincat that was, again, set up by the stupidity of the Max Domi penalty.
But, yeah, he's closing in on 1,000 points, I believe it is.
Yeah, well, he's got to get there. That's the big one.
Yes.
Got to get there at 1,000. I mean, the guy's been playing with Ryan Carpenter, and he's still having a good season. So.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
And that's not
a shot at Ryan Carpenter.
That's absolutely a shot at Ryan Carpenter. That's 100% a shot at Ryan Carpenter.
It's saying Ryan Carpenter. I'm not sure that everybody would assume that he's a top six player.
He's having a good season with Ryan Carpenter. Crazy. It's clearly a shot at Ryan Carpenter.
I think what Frank
is
saying
is... Don't backtrack it now.
No, I think what Frank is saying is Ryan Carpenter has earned... Top six
no,
minutes
that's
with
not
the
what he was saying at all. No.
He's still
having a good season despite playing with Ryan Carpenter. It's essentially what Frank just said.
In other words, what I'm saying is no matter who Patrick Kane plays with, he's sensational. All right. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up. Then we'll be right back on with the pregame show getting set for the Ottawa Senators. Once again, Pete DeBoer's reign starts tonight. And if you are just tuning in, William Karlsson out week to week. How will that affect the VGK? Back to finish it up next. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Welcome back. Wrapping it up. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy here at Twin Peaks in Henderson. Chris Chapman back in the studio getting set for the Vegas Golden Knights and the Ottawa Senators coming up with the pregame at the top of the hour.
So you get excited because they're excited. Gets me excited. Gets all of our fans excited and our sponsors. Good.
Thought we'd wrap it up today, staying in the Pacific Division. We've talked quite a bit about Matthew Tkachuk and Zach Cassian and the unpleasantries that they've exchanged with each other.
The blindside hits for Matthew Tkachuk, Zach Cassian trying to fight Tkachuk, Tkachuk not wanting to do it, Cassian getting suspended for two games because he fought a guy that didn't want to fight even though that guy ran him three times in a game.
Well, something good has come out of this.
What's that?
And the exchange began, as you mentioned, with everything going on there. So some people started to put Tkachuk's face on billboards all over Edmonton.
Okay.
Calgary radio station KJAY92 pledged to cover the cost of the billboards, thereby taking the money that was raised from the fundraiser and donating it to ALS. So in response, Oilers supporter Samantha Costa decided to launch her own initiative, donating to a Calgary charity in Cassian's name so that kids can get a proper meal and grow up to be tougher than Tkachuk, as she put on Twitter. She donated $25 to Brown Bagging for Calgary's Kids. Another person, Dragons Den star Brent Wilson, got on board. Wilson pledged to match up to $10,000 of what Oilers fans raised by Friday to help that initiative to help kids get meals in the schools in the local area there. They've raised over $16,000 now. So by kind of having fun with each other's cities, they have helped out the ALS Foundation and they've helped underprivileged children get meals.
And Zach Cassian is still going to want to try to beat the crap out of Matthew Tkachuk, and Matthew Tkachuk is still going to duck him, but at least money has been raised for good causes.
Right, and remember, underprivileged kids, eat your lunch, and you'll grow up to be tougher than Matthew Tkachuk, according to some people. That's going to do it for us. Pre-game show's next. JT the Brick off today because we have the Golden Knights and the Senators coming up on Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Golden Knights hockey.